Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPJ number 115. That's Bayis Pnimi, joint shir number 115. We're discussing communication and when there is a disagreement and there's a heated disagreement, the worst thing that one can do is go for the jugular, which means basically is the Yetzer Hara puts into your brain a very sharp line that will wipe out your spouse. That will be really stab in the heart, but will wipe them out. You will feel great momentarily because you won the argument. You flattened them. You shock them. You shook them up. You really hit them hard with that sharp, sarcastic, brilliant line of yours that comes to your head and you're about to say it. Don't say it. Don't be cruel. Don't say things you know will infuriate your spouse. Don't allow yourself the freedom of saying just anything to prove your point or to win the argument or to win the battle or sometimes win the whole war, which means you lost the whole war. In the heat of the battle, when you're agitated like that, you will have a strong pull, especially if you have a sharp wit and a sharp tongue, to destroy your spouse. And that is a moment of struggle. But if you allow yourself to give into it, you are destroying. You are causing devastation. You have to remember, either both of you win or both of you lose. You're not opponents. You're partners. There's no such thing as one winning and one losing. You both lose if you do it the wrong way. You both win if you do it the right way. You want to win a fight, you apologize immediately. Habakkuk, Pasuk Perek Gimel, Pasuk Beis. Beroyges, amid the rage, Rachim Tizkar. Remember to be merciful. You have to remember to be merciful. The time of Devaira writes down in Mida 13. To remember now, when you're upset, that once there was an earlier time when that other person had not yet acted improperly, and in that earlier time, he or she was a worthy person. Let him remember the good that the other person did in his youth. Let him recall the love he received when he was a young child. In this way, there's no person who does not awaken our sympathies and is not worthy of our kindness and mercy. Instead of viewing your nagging wife, view her as your once beautiful young Kala. Instead of looking at your opinionated, selfish husband, look at once the handsome new chassan. Slip away. Recall that. You'll see how your anger dissipates. And your interest in having a World War III goes away. Of course, never use name-calling, never use offensive languages. And the main thing really is when you're arguing, leave your in-laws out of it. One of the most hurtful things you do is when you draw comparisons between your spouse and your spouse's parents. You're just like your mother like this. You're just like your father like that. It is very mean-spirited, incendiary, very hurtful. And even if the comparison is true, but usually it's more likely that your spouse is just like your mother or your father or whatever it is from your childhood with whom you had unfinished business, which is why you married him or her in the first place. It's something to be explored. And that right now, out of control, you go back to your instincts of attacking, and you're probably acting right now just like your mother or your father or your spouse's mother or your spouse's father. That's exactly how you are acting at this moment. So it's very important. Men, make sure not to say, you know, you're out of control because you're about to get your period or your hormone, something wrong with your hormones. They tend to do that and disparage and mitigate their wife's feelings, blaming it on their hormonal cycles. That's a cop-out. Also, never say anything that begins with always or never, because then That is an exaggerated accusation. Never say you always or you never. Even the word you is charge word. Say, I feel threatened when you are insensitive to me. But at least you start off with the I. I feel this way when this is behaved towards me. But if it's constantly you, it's inflammatory. But is inflammatory. Basically, I know I was impatient with you, but you were acting like a real, you know, witch. The but. You acknowledge something, and right away you destroy that acknowledging by using the but and attacking. That's the aval. It's interesting. There's a yesod, aval anachnu chatanu. The word aval means but. We have sinned with the word but because basically we acknowledge something and then we say, but it's your fault. Another big rule, try with every fiber of your being never to argue in front of your children. Do not use your innocent children as weapons to rally at your side against your husband or wife. Sadly, you know, you hear in divorce cases, people tend to do this when they pit each other. But unfortunately, in marriages, in long-term marriages, parents do the same thing. It is a terrible thing to pit a child against one of the spouses. It's something that, even if there's a real problem there, has to be dealt with a sensitivity and with a chachma. Because a child's sense of security and confidence is built on peace within the home and love between a husband and a wife. Children, they may admit it or not, but they're filled with uncertainty when they see their parents fight. Often they're filled with an absolute dread, a sinking feeling, a hopelessness when they see their parents fight. Even a few insensitive words exchanged between a husband and a wife, even if it doesn't get to that agitation where they're actually having a full-fledged fight, could send a child into a tremendous cycle of fear and confusion. This is especially true when we talk about HSPs in particular, highly sensitive people. They tend to do this, to have that tremendous trigger when their parents fight. They have a fragile ego, children. They didn't yet clarify where they're going to be. They don't have a full identity yet. And they observe their parents quarrel. They literally believe that their parents are yelling at them, even though it's clear that they're not. They're yelling at each other. But they interpret it as if the parent is yelling at them. So if you have to fight, if you have to argue behind closed doors, soundproof doors, after the children have gone to sleep, to air out your real arguments. Now, when you have differences of opinions and want to work it out out of love and respect, and children observe this, that may not be unhealthy. That may not be unhealthy at all. It may be even good chinuch, and the parents should discuss this beforehand, how to handle it. They're on a trip, well, let's say a family trip, and the husband says an opinion, and the wife disagrees with that opinion, and they are having a conversation about it. It could be good chinuch if they plan this and they think about it and they say, let's teach the children how to resolve a conflict in an adult, healthy, respectful, loving way. Then it's a healthy thing. But overall, when there's agitation, sharpness, sarcasm, it's poison for the children. You are killing your children when you hurt your wife. You're killing your children when you hurt your husband. And the last thing he talks about in this chapter of communicating, this particular chapter of the good few shiurim that we have done thus far, the last few, is something that needs to be taught. Taught and integrated, internalized. It will save many marriages. It will save a lot of agmas nefesh in marriages. So the last thing in this chapter, and then we'll go on to another topic towards the end of this book, that goes into marital intimacy and opportunities to shine in marriage and real important things, is to identify the themes of your marriage. Meaning, what is those issues, those fundamental issues that the couple needs to confront and address in order to get their shleimus? Where do they often clash, where they need to really work through to get to a common ground, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu together despite their difference? And if you do this together with all the other rules, your quarrels, which will happen, will not be intensified, will be conducted civilly and with warmth, and could be resolved. The last thing he really says is to remember, when you have arguments, that resolution is not the goal. It's the taking steps to validate and understand. That is the goal. That is the goal. So, there's certain things that don't go away. There's certain things that have a certain tension, and we need to honor them and manage them wisely. There's some unfinished business, whether your own, your spouse, whether you interact with each other, that needs to work through, and it takes wisdom to work these things through. This communication, when done the right way, when there are odds, when there are differences, creates, after that, a true deep bond, a true deep relationship of two adults that work through on themselves in the best possible way to bring a stability and a safety to the other person. It is a tremendous matana. It's a tremendous matana when you have that listening ear to your husband or to your wife when they are upset. We said, I want to be messiah with this, because all these things about communication and the hard things that one needs to do in order to be matzliach with this acquires a certain degree of healthy self-confidence and healthy self-worth. To value yourself, to realize that your ego will not get broken if you hear insults. Even if your husband or wife is sharp with you, seemingly unfair, venting, crying, and even accusatory, saying not nice things, you'll be able to hold your ground, not get defensive, and if you feel the defensiveness, you'll let it go by, and you'll listen with an open ear, even though it hurts. You will not respond negatively. You'll acknowledge it. Speak calmly. I hear you. I understand. When you know you're wrong, you'll apologize. When you still don't feel that you were wrong, you'll say, I want to think things through. I hear what you're saying. Try to see the other point of view. A few days later, you could switch it and then open up to what you disagreed with and work things through. And to be besayim it, remember, whether or not to chaydim ladam das, asking Hashem for wisdom to deal with this before you start interacting with your husband or wife, or in Shemaya Tefillah, and ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya. We need to discuss something that's somewhat difficult. I need your help, Hashem, to help us do it in a way that will bring us closer together and not, chas v'shalom, lead us to drift from each other, but rather to be close to each other. That this uncomfortable conversation should, though initially uncomfortable, should create and foster a closeness between the two of us to truly bond as the way Hashem wants us to bond, and to truly bond the way Hashem desires it. He wants the Shekhinah to be in your midst. When there's shalom, shalom sometimes means ultimate shalom, when everything's going fine. Sometimes shalom means taking the two opposites and working things through to a compromise, to a medium, to a common ground. Bracha v'atzlacha.